guys, welcome to River City 93, brought to you by Roughneck Scars, Ignorance FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr. I'm back from my honeymoon, and joining me, as always, is my good man,
Shanae Duran II.
And I just realized I said honeymoon, I meant to say anniversary,
because it was expensive. I was like, wait a minute, honey.
Yeah, I didn't get married again, I promise you. I love you, I like that. It's always. But yeah, man, it's... we were supposed to be talking about Fort Lauderdale and then throw it in the South Georgia game but COVID just decided like, hey, we owe money and we're not playing.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, yo, we have more goals scored. We have about the same amount as goals scored as we do as postponed games.
Yeah.
Two. I don't know who we pissed off, yo. I don't know who we pissed off.
But I don't know. I don't know. But at this point right now, this looks like what the season's going to be like.
It's going to be games getting
postponed here and there. My question is, now where are they going to squeeze this one in?
I don't know, man, because Fort Lauderdale is supposed to be coming to us. So I don't know where you squeeze this game into, unless Fort Lauderdale is having like a massive like 2-3 game road trip coming up and you're just like, all right, we're going to throw this ritual game in there.
I really hope something like that happens, because at this point we're in a situation now where, yeah, I don't know. They're gonna be on a.
I mean, what they go on the road against? Four next, right?
No, they go on the.
South Georgia.
Yeah, the Ford game is already canceled.
No, that's the old schedule. You're looking at it's the old schedule.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know where they throw this game into. It's going to be interesting to see, but if Richmond had to deal with it, I hope other teams had to deal with it. talking to, like, one of our boys, Jason, he was telling us about how Richmond literally had to drive down to Greenville, then after the game, drive back up to Richmond to then go down to South Georgia because... apparently, you can't take a plane if you're in 500 miles. And we're like 20 miles under that 500 mark to South Georgia. So we had to take another bus down. And you could tell in the play. Like, I guess watching it, I didn't watch it live because, of course, that was my anniversary.
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you imagine if that
would have worked? There was a lot of disconnect in terms of the play. There was a lot of... it didn't look like tired legs, but in my head I'm thinking, we have the fresher players. South Georgia only have 3 subs. Why does it look like they're fresher than us? And, I mean, with that explanation, you can see why. I mean...
yeah, and like you said, it didn't look like tired legs. What it looked like was just restless legs. Like, the ideas were there.
Yeah.
It just looked like you can't execute it because your body just can't get to that level.
Exactly.
And, I mean, granted this game is a draw, but I think South Georgia does get luck having to play their first 2 games at home. Richmond's on the road for both of their first 2 games. But, I mean, I'll take the point on the road against South Georgia.
Yeah.
I'd rather get the point on the road now against the South Georgia team that's, I mean, granted, they only had, I think, 3 to 4 subs.
Yeah.
One of them was a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Then trying to play against a full-strength South Georgia team that just... I mean, granted, they play OCB. And OCB doesn't have a lot, but I'd rather get the draw against that team than the full... I take the point. Get out of there. We were supposed to play Fort Lauderdale yesterday, but that game got canceled because of COVID. So now we get an extra week to rest up.
Yeah, so it's basically a week and a half before, more than a week and a half before the next game. So hopefully, and it's a home game, so we don't have to travel.
It is the Henny Derby!
Yeah!
As my grandma always say, the alcohol will kill it.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Henny Derby is the cure to COVID, which would be hilarious. Imagine the Henny Derby is the cure that we all needed.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
That would be great. That would be absolutely great. But what's interesting is that it could be the cure because COVID couldn't stop the Henny Derby.
Yeah, that's true.
Because had COVID not happened, our home opener would have been the Henny Dart.
Yeah.
So, things turned out where our home opener will still be the Henny Darby.
So, I like the way you said that. That sounded kind of cool. Sounds like a commercial. I mean, you got a lot to the pain, man. It sucks not being able to play games.
Yeah.
It sucks. But, I mean, back to the South Georgia game, I did get a chance to go back and rewatch the game, and there's some positives in this game, but there's also some things that raises concern for me. And I think the biggest part of the concern is, how is Sawasi going to figure out this midfield?
Yeah.
Because we've seen both sides of this midfield where it could be extra tight. I think he's still trying to figure out that midfield piece. The defense, I think he got solid. I think the attack, he knows where you want to play. I think the midfield for him is like this weird Rubik's Cube of, if I put Mumbai and Cuomo and Kraft, it becomes too defensive.
Yes.
If I go Kraft and Flack and Cuomo or Mumbai, it becomes too attacking. So I think he has to find that balance.
I'm not sure about, of course, I'm not seeing the guys practice week in and week out. I'm going off of, you know, highlight tapes and what I've seen players do in the past. But what it looks like would work would be either Mumbai or Cuomo as a six. Kraft as an eight. And Terzaghi as a 10 rather than a striker.
Yeah, I can see that. That's where I feel like the biggest hole is at. Because if you take Terzaghi and be like, all right, you're not going to play striker, we're going to put you at the 10. Who do you then put at striker? Because Terzaghi, granted, he doesn't score in the South Georgia League, but he does a lot of great things.
He does a lot of hold-up play. He does. He was.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So you lose
that. Terzaghi was definitely on point.
Yeah, you lose that within the field. Like, you lose that, which is key. Because if you're having a 10, you're looking for that 10 to run on to those balls. Which Terzaghi can probably do. He can probably do a great job of it. And also, by the way, we now know his official age. Because during the broadcast, like, the announcer said, like, yeah, we heard that he's 30, but really he's 27.
Okay.
So now we know. Okay. There's no more missing birth certificate out there about Emile Hall. He's 27. He's not super duper old.
Yeah, he's still in his prime. 27, yeah. You're still in your prime. Yeah, you know. So we have a Terzaghi who is in his prime. Who I feel like he could do a job as a 10.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like I said, I don't know what's going on during training, but where's my boy Stanley? He would be a good 9 with Terzaghi behind him.
Yeah.
As a 10. So I don't know.
I think for
this
me,
isn't FIFA, so we can't just go off of, well, you know, put him here and him there. I mean, it's got to work out
based off the training. I think for me personally, I think I would want to keep Terzaghi up there, up top as a striker. Because I do like the fact that he can not only, like we said, have great hold-up play. He does have the vertical. But then he can also drop back and help out with the midfield. I think that's a key component. Because I think if you solely have him in the midfield, I think he'll get kind of canceled out. Just height-wise. I can see that. But then also, another player I would love to see come into the midfield and possibly get more minutes. And like we said, we don't know how he's doing in training or where's his stamina at, but it's Greg Beam.
Yeah.
Greg. He's another one. Like, I really feel like if we want Kraft to be the number 10, I think Greg, you know, is the one that can open up a lot.
Greg, to me, from what I've seen of him last year and this year, he is your typical Richmond kicker center midfielder.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Luke Vercellone. He reminds me of Mike Callahan. That dogged midfield, like, terrier that just wreaks havoc. He's not an exceptionally big guy. He's not tall. But he will wreak havoc in that midfield.
Like, Greg looks like the kind of guy that probably cracks a few beers before the game and be like, all right, I'm about to outrun all of y'all. Like, that's what Greg looks like to me. Like, I say that with the most respect, but that's what Greg looks like. But then, like, in this game, like, he comes on, but I want to see him start. Yeah. And I felt like if we would have played for a lot, I felt like he would have gotten a start. We don't know because the game got postponed. Yeah. But I think he is that missing link in that midfield. Once again, we don't know if what's going on in training.
Yeah.
But one player that did stand out to me and that I felt like deserved a desist is Jonathan Bolaños. If anyone locked their spot, it's him after this game. I mean, granted, it took him a while to grow into the game.
Yeah.
And there was moments throughout.
Bolaños was, again, very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Second time in a row. I was very impressed with his performance. The service that he can bring from that wing, the things he can pull off.
And Emilio should have had a goal in, with the 85th minute, but South Georgia's goalkeeper literally stood on his head.
Yeah. That twice, though. Because Woodcraft's chance, I mean, I don't know. If it wasn't for that goalkeeper, that game is 2-0, easy.
Oh, right, it's not for a kid. Which, by the way, sir, I'm usually the one that has the Twitter account, so people know how I tweet and whatnot. Your one parent almost got our Twitter banned. I don't think I ever seen Pedro that pissed before. With this man, I think you said who's the man of the match. You did it.
I didn't say. I didn't say man of the match. In my defense, I did not say man of the match. Okay. Which of these players performed the best? And I was talking. And you notice I only put out field players.
Yeah.
If I wasn't gonna put a man of the match because that was a given. I mean, at the end of the day, okay. Akira. So
you cleared yourself up there.
No, I knew Akira. I mean, with that save alone. With that save alone, I mean, the dude, I mean, that should have been on SportsCenter. I think that save should have been on SportsCenter.
Like, that's the fact, where Kira saves it from, he's behind a wall of people.
Exactly.
And that ball could
have... He sees it late, that and ball he still gets up.
Mind you, he's on one leg, still, because I think that ankle injury still was kind of lingering. It might have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But
there were a couple of times when he went for jumps and saves and dives and stuff where you saw him hold his leg and stretch it a bit. And I'm like, Akira, don't fall down on me now.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness.
He alone is the man of the match.
Yes.
And you can see the difference of when you have Akira in and another goalkeeper in. He brings it.
Yes.
He is, there's a reason why he is the captain. It's the reason why. That save was amazing.
And that's the thing. I know a lot of people would, especially who are probably neutrals or South Georgia fans, would think that their keeper got cheated because he made two fantastic saves. However, there's a difference between a goalkeeper and a shot stopper. South Georgia, you guys have a great shot stopper. But I'm sorry, Akira Fitzgerald took that game by the scruff of the neck himself from the back.
I mean, yeah, there was multiple times. I think the thing about it was South Georgia definitely controlled and dominated that game because, like we said, the midfield was definitely disjointed. There was a lot of times you could see it. It wasn't disjointed in the fact of where players didn't know what to do. It was just more disjointed as you can see the idea. It just didn't get executed and then South Georgia took the turnover and then there was open space.
Exactly.
So with that being said, like, when you have two very aggressive fullbacks in Devontae and Ian Anley, who, by the way, had a much better game.
Oh, they were both much better game. Very, very good.
Devontae, I want to see a little bit more out of him, but it's his first start.
Yes.
So I can understand where the rust is. Ian, this is only his second career start. For it to be his second in the shortest span of games and the way how he improved, I'll take it. There's still upside with him. But I think with that, you have two aggressive fullbacks, and then with Kyle getting his first start, the back four and the goalkeeper looks solid. Like I said, I think that would be the core part of this Richmond Kickers team.
Yes.
I do think, however, the midfield needs to get sorted out. We need to figure out what we're doing there. Because if there's no one there protecting them, and they changed it at halftime, I think they told Mumbai, and then Cuomo comes on later, sit back more.
Yeah.
Don't worry about pushing up.
Yeah.
Like, like crap that everyone else worried about.
Be the protection for the back line.
Just be back here for the back four. Yeah. Pretty much put out the fires.
Exactly.
And I think once they figure it out, things kind of settle down a little bit more. But, yeah. I think without Akira back there, I think Richard does not win this game.
No.
And I don't think that's unfair to say.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Other thing, too, when it comes to this is, I want to know what the midfield is doing. But I also want to know, like, what is the exact plan going forward.
Yeah.
Because two other things that kind of popped up to me is, do we have the ability to break down teams once they get into a low block?
That is one of the toughest things to accomplish. But at least, what is the plan for a low block? Yeah.
And like we saw with Greenville, where we're down 3-2, is like, what, 15, 20 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't create another chance because
Greenville just went into parked the bus.
Granted, they were down a man. They just parked the bus and it was just like, you're not getting passes. And we really wasn't able to penetrate. South Georgia, same thing. It was moments in the game where South Georgia was like, we're just going to put eight behind the ball and
stop
breaking the counter. We're not going to really try to build up. And where Richmond does great at, and I think this is kind of the dual-edged sword with the high press, is when the game is open, we're good. But when it's, the other team is just like, here's the ball.
Close the gate.
We're going to sit back. I think Richmond kind of gets in that thing of, all right, we're running. Oh, wait, there's no space.
And they need to figure out where that space is. Where to find that space.
Yeah, like I said, I've been impressed so far. I think with this Richard team, you're going to be in your seats a lot. I don't think you're going to see a lot of just the mind-numbing passing we saw last year.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be more attractive. I just want to see that next step of, all right, this is how we get past the low block. This is how we control possession in front of the box.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we create chances and things like that. I want to see that next step. And not necessarily against teams like Fort Lauderdale, OCB, because there's a mistake in them. Like Fort Lauderdale, for instance, for anyone that didn't watch the Fort Lauderdale and FC Tucson game, which, by the way, did you watch that game?
No, but I caught the highlights and...
Okay, the highlights don't do the game justice. First of all, the two yellow cards were 100% deserved, but Fort Lauderdale was in control of that game, even being down 9 men. Like, FC Tucson did not create a chance. And I watched the game, like, it literally was, when Fort Lauderdale went down to 9 men, it got to the point where it was the goalkeeper, 7 defensive players, 1 striker. Like, that literally what it was. And Fort Lauderdale was holding it down. I think they just got tired. But there's a mistake in that team. Because they're so young and they're still trying to figure stuff out, there's a mistake in that team. So, if Richmond goes, like, if we play Fort Lauderdale, OCB, you know, and if we win 3-0, yeah, it's a great win. But can we break down teams like Ford? Can we break down teams like Greenville, Chattanooga? You know, teams like that. I want to say Richmond is right there to break that echelon of teams that, you know, have good defense, like your George, like your Greenvilles, like your Tormentas, like your Chattanoogas. I can't believe I'm saying Chattanooga and good praise.
And good defense.
But those teams, can you break down those teams, create opportunities, and get to the next step?
Yeah, that's I agree. I think you can't win a season without a midfield.
Yeah, you can't win any game without a midfield unless you have an amazing attack of God, Jesus, and the Holy Trinity. You're not winning much games. But
yeah, so I think we have it figured out on the defensive side. With the attacking side, I think we have options and we're just trying out all the options.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about that.
And I trust Darren enough that, you know, this week without having to play a game, I'm pretty sure they might have done it in a scrum screen. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming they probably did.
Yeah, I think that would help. Where we're at now is figuring out what players are best utilized to put in that midfield in order to connect the defense to the attack.
Yeah.
Because everything's got to be connected. And I feel like against South Georgia, there was a lack of connection. There were so many pockets of space in that midfield. So many times the ball is at the back, and one of the back four just have to hit it long because the midfield is not there.
Yeah,
to connect to the front line.
I want to know why Vertonghen got subbed over the 54th minute. My speculation is because of injury, and I think they're just trying to ease him back in. But I think the kickers more or less know 3/4 of their spine. You know it's Terzaghi, you know it's Vertner or Akwe when healthy, and you know it's Akira.
Yeah.
I think finding that midfield spot, that piece right there that can connect it, get everything going for it, I think once you figure it out, you're fine.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, with Shanowski and Ivan, I think our center back situation is fine. Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Even if Vintner can't play or if Akwe can't play, those other two can definitely do the job to fill in.
Like I said, I've been impressed with Ivan so far what I've seen, because when he came in for Connor, he played a good game.
Yes.
Not his best, but he played good.
Yes.
He played good. So with that being said, we have two, since we don't have a game this week, I probably got kind of cut in half. Of course, you know, we got the Henny Derby coming up.
Henny Derby.
What are your expectations for that? What are you expecting on that front?
On that front, at this point, I'm not sure, because what I've seen of Ford Madison, I don't think is complete enough for me to know exactly what we're getting into, you know? I do think that maybe we could get ourselves a 3 points when that bottle back, that trophy back.
You sound confident, but not confident.
It's because everything's been so weird, and teams have been so inconsistent in their first couple of games that you don't know what you're gonna, who's coming. You don't know which Ford Madison team is coming.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, one thing I do want to say is with regards to, and I mean, you and I were talking about the field. Ford.
Yeah. By the way, for those who haven't seen Ford Madison home away from home game against Greenville on Friday, they have football lines, Quidditch lines, lacrosse, soccer.
Yes, he said Quidditch.
Yeah, I didn't even think Quidditch was a real sport. Currently, it's in Wisconsin, the land of cheese. So,
with that many different color lines all over the field, I can see how Greenville had disjointed moments. But, I mean, on a real field, does Greenville win that game? On a field that doesn't have a Morse code of lines all over it.
I mean, I don't know, because watching the game, it was like both teams were set up to counter.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams looked comfortable countering. It's just like they both canceled out each other.
Exactly.
Like almost comparable to the game between us and South Georgia. I mean, granted, South Georgia did better because we had tired legs, but there were moments in that South Georgia-Richmond game where both teams just canceled out each other.
Yeah, but my thing is, Ford didn't really play a countering game against North Texas. Granted, yes, they did take the L, but they didn't play a countering game against North Texas. So,
and North Texas is a different breed. North Texas really just kind of bodied them.
Yeah, basically.
But then North Texas goes to Union Omaha and looks dumbfounded against Union Omaha.
Well, I mean, Union Omaha looked pretty good, though.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, with me bringing that up is basically to say that, okay, then if Ford Madison do come and play a counterattacking game, then all we have to do is give them possession, and they won't know what to do with it. But then again, they played against North Texas and did not play a counterattacking game. So they probably are more comfortable in possession than Greenville are.
Yeah.
Which means, do we want to give them possession? Do we want to keep possession? Do we want to, you know, keep it even, tighten things up on the defensive side? Do we want to play a defensive game? Do we want to go at them guns blazing? And it's kind of...
You don't know.
Exactly. It's really a toss-up. Like,
it's still hard to get a feel of what this Richmond Kickers team is. One, because of the lack of games.
Exactly.
And it's just too easy in the season to really tell. Like, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. But it feels weird that we're saying this in August, but...
Lurp, you've only had two games.
We've only had two games.
And so, like, we have the interview with Kyle coming up after this, after the break. We interviewed Kyle Carr to get a breakdown of Ford and Madison, what to expect. So, after this, stay around, listen to that. It's a good interview. Mm-hmm. We have another interview coming up with Jason Weintraub of USL League One Fun. Check out his work. He's an excellent writer. We got to get more into COVID and how that is affecting USL League One. That will be on a separate podcast. I think either coming out Monday or Tuesday. But kind of talking about how COVID is not going to affect USL League One, but USL. Mm-hmm. And then we have a special podcast of Can I Kick It? With Black supporters. It's kind of talking about Black soccer culture in America. It's a round table, which would be pretty cool. And that should be coming out on Thursday. So, yeah, man. Even while soccer's not being played, we are still awkwardly busy.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Well, I mean, because there's soccer that's supposed to be played and at the last minute gets canceled. So.
This is also true. This is also
the second one.
Yeah, man. So, as always, if you can, leave us a like, share to a friend, subscribe to the podcast. We usually drop episodes on Sundays. Yeah, man. It's awkward. I think I'm in the show. As always, you can check out our podcast on any podcast player. This is your co-host, Elliot. Is joining me as always, my good man,
Shanier.
We'll catch you guys later. Hopefully, COVID does not cancel another game for us. Check you guys out later.